Okay, we're starting with the Mishnah on the top of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. The Mishnah begins. Tmurat habechor v'amaser vladan, uvlad vladan, at sofa olam, harielu kebechor u'maaser, that the tmurat habechor v'amaser, the vlad vladan, all the generations afterward that are given birth, whether it's a child to the maaser, or whether it's from the tmurot, it's an offspring from them, they have the same din as a bechor and a maser. V'yochlu b'muman liba'alim. And we wait until they get a mum in them, and then they're eaten by the ba'alim. Ma ben bechor maser, the ben kol ha'kodoshim. Why is bechor maser different than all kol ha'kodoshim? Kol ha'kodoshim nikarim be'itliz v'nishkatim, be'itliz v'nishkalim be'litra. All the other kodoshim, when you have a mum in them, and you go to monetize the animal, you sell them in the shuk, they are shechted in the shuk, and they are weighed on the scales. Chutz min habechor v'maser. That's not true of bechor maser. The difference relates to the fact of who is the beneficiary of the proceeds. When it comes to other kodoshim, the beneficiary is hekdesh, because the monies that you realize from this sale, you're going to use to purchase another korban. On the other hand, bechor maser, the profits, the beneficiary over here is the balim. The balim, either the kohen or the owners of the maser. And therefore, we're not going to allow for bizayon kodoshim to be sold in the shuk, and to be sold in such a manner, when the beneficiary is not hekdesh anymore. Every other kodesh has a redemption. You can redeem them, and their tmurot can be redeemed. Chutz min habechor v'maser. Bechor maser cannot be redeemed. You have to wait for them to get a mum, and then ne'achalim b'muman. They're eaten with their mum in them. Ubaim michutz la'aretz. All the other kodeshim can be brought from chutz la'aretz. Chutz min habechor v'maser. Bechor maser cannot be brought from chutz la'aretz. Shimbo tmimim yikarvu. V'im balim mumim yuchlu b'muman balim. In the end, if they were brought, bo tmimim, they're brought without a muminim, yikarvu, then they put on the mizbeach. But if they're balim mumim, they're eating the muman b'the balim.
But this is what, if they come from chutz
la'aretz? Yeah, that if they come tmimim from chutz la'aretz, then they're put on the mizbeach. If they have mumim in them, then yuchlu b'muman balim. That means l'chatchila, we tell you don't bring them from chutz la'aretz. But if you do bring them from chutz la'aretz and they're tmimim, we do put them on the mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon, matam asher bechor v'maser yesh lehem parnasa bimkoman. What's the reason? The reason that we don't want you to bring the bechor and the maser to Eretz Yisrael from chutz la'aretz is because we have a solution where they are. If you get a mum in them, they can be eaten by the balim even in chutz la'aretz. As opposed to all the other kodeshim, where there is no solution in chutz la'aretz. Even if they get a mum in chutz la'aretz, in the end, the proceeds are going to have to be brought up to Eretz Yisrael and used for a korban there. Bechor maser are not that way. Bechor maser, you could actually solve the problem in chutz la'aretz. So therefore, we don't demand, we don't push you to bring up the bechor maser from chutz la'aretz. Shar kol kodeshim, afu bishanol behem mum, harei elu b'kedushatan. All the other kodeshim, even if they get a mum in them, they retain their kedusha. And they still need to be redeemed, and that kedusha has to end up on the mizbeach. So that's the difference between bechor maser and shor kodoshim. Amar Rav Acha bar Rav Azio van b'marovo. They asked in Eretz Yisrael, "Amatil mum bit murat bechor maser mahu." Person puts a mum into an exchange of a bechor and maser. What is the din? So now we already know from our Mishnah that murat bechor maser does not end up on the mizbeach. It's not really the mizbeach. It's going to have to wait anyway until it gets a mum in it. So is there a restriction of putting a mum into such an animal? We know there is a restriction against putting a mum into an animal. Kol mum lo yebo. We know there's a restriction against doing that to any animal that is ra'ui to go on the mizbeach. But over here, these animals are precluded from ending up on the mizbeach anyway. So is there a restriction from placing a mum into them? Mi aminan came into lo krivan lo mechayev. Since they're not going to end up in the mizbeach anyway, you're not chayev for putting a mum in it. O Dilma, even the kodesho mechayev. Since they are kadosh, they have a din of bechor maser, they're still chayav for the mum in them. Amar le Abaye v'tibaylach hamatil mum b'tshiisha maser. How come you didn't pose this question with regards to the ninth one in maser behema? We know the din with regards to maser behema. The tenth one is kodesh. If you make a mistake and call the ninth one 10 or the 11th one 10, they are both kodesh. The difference between them is that if the ninth one, if you call it 10, it waits until it gets a mum in it, and then it's eaten by the balim. On the other hand, the 11th one, if it's called 10, it's brought to the mikdash, to the mizbeach, as shlamim. But the ninth one never ends up on the mizbeach. So how come you didn't ask the same question there? With the maaser that was, the ninth one was called 10, not going to end up on the mizbeach. How come you didn't ask about matil mum? Ela maishna chi deloka vailoch. Why don't you ask about the ninth one? Because the Torah, Derchmana mi'ate, the Torah says by the ninth one it doesn't go on the Mizbeach, Asiri lo tzit shi'i. It says the tenth one goes on the Mizbeach, not the ninth one. And there's no restriction against putting a mum in it. Achanami Rachmana mi'atinhu. But also over here, the Torah says, lo tifte, pikodesh heim, heim krevim, vein tumuratam kreva. They end up on the Mizbeach, meaning Korin Maser end up on the Mizbeach, tumuratam do not end up on the Mizbeach. So just like the Chi'i, the ninth one, but Maser is precluded from going on the Mizbeach, and you didn't ask about the fact that you maybe put a mum in there, because you knew for sure that putting a mum in it wasn't a problem. So to over here, we have a mute that says that heim krevim, that they go on the Mizbeach, with tumuratam, their exchange does not go on the Mizbeach. We'll apply the same din there, which is that we're not going to worry about the mum at all. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak mat elohochi. Nachman Yitzchak learned it this way. Amar Rav Acho bar Rav Azio ban b'marovo. They asked the question this way. Basically, it's the same question, but in reverse. Matil mum b'chi'i shomaser mahu. What's the din with regards to putting a mum in the ninth one if it was called the tenth? Samalei v'tibaylach hamatil mum b'tmurat b'chor b'maser. Why don't you ask the question about tmurat b'chor b'maser? Elamayshma tmurat b'chor b'maser zelo mibaylach. Why don't you ask the question with regards to an exchange of Bechor Maser to Rachman and Matinu? Because the Torah excluded them. It says, Kikudesh Heim, Heim Krevim Ve'en Tumuratam Kreva. That they go on the Mizbeach, but the Tumurat does not go on the Mizbeach. Chi Shel Maser Nami, Rachman and Miate. Same way, but Chi, the Torah was Miate. Asiri, Lotziyat Chi'i. It says the tenth one goes on the Mizbeach, not the ninth one that goes on the Mizbeach. So just like by Bechor Maser, it's obvious to you that putting a mum in it is not a problem. So too, by the ninth one in Maser, it also should be obvious to you, because the Torah excludes it, that there is no restriction against putting a mum in it. So therefore, in both scenarios, you'll end up with the case that both Murat, Bechor Maser, and the Chi'i in Maser do not have a restriction of Kol Mum Lo Yebo, that you can't place a mum into them, because they're not throwing the Mizbeach. They don't go on the Mizbeach. The Torah excluded them from the Mizbeach. And by excluding them from the Mizbeach, it also excludes them from the restriction of if they're brought from Chutz La'aretz as Tmimim, we do allow them to be put on the Mizbeach. That means, L'chatchila, we tell you don't bring them from Chutz La'aretz, but if you do bring them from Chutz La'aretz and they're Tmimim, we do put them on the Mizbeach. Very minhu. Ben Antigonus, Hela Bechorot mi Bavel. Brought up a bunch of Bechorot from Bavel, velo kiblu mimenu. And they did not accept them. Some Rav Chista, Lokasho, HaRabbi Shmuel, HaRabbi Akiva. Difference here relates to a machloket Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Titania, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gimel Dvarim, Mishum Gimel Zkenim. He quotes, it's basically a large braita, the memrote of three Zkenim. That is, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, and Ben Azai. They're all darshaning the same pasuk, but they all do it in a different way. The nafkamina between them actually will be our case over here, but it's going to take us a long time to get there. Starting out with Rabbi Yishmael. I would think that a person should still bring Maaser Sheni today. Bechor needs to be brought up to Yerushalayim, and Maaser Sheni needs to be brought up to Yerushalayim. Just like Bechor has to be only eaten when the Mikdash is extant, when there is a Mikdash in Yerushalayim, I would have thought the same thing should apply to Maaser Sheni, that it will only be brought up to Yerushalayim when the Mikdash is there. It's obvious that the Gemara by Bechor that it is brought up to Yerushalayim, and that is because it says, Kol ha-Bechor asher yivaleid b'bchorcha v'tzoncha, ha-zachar taktish la-Hashem lokecha, lo ta'avod b'bchor sherecha v'lo ta'goz b'chor tzonecha, lifnei Hashem lokecha tochaleno shana b'shana b'makom asher yivchar Hashem ata uveitecha.
You can't eat it wherever you want. You must bring it up to the place that Hashem chose, up to Yerushalayim. So that said, with regards to Bechor, it's obvious in that instance that it must be brought up to Yerushalayim. The question is, with regards to Maaser Sheni, where it says it's a dinu, can learn it out if the Bechor has to be brought up only when there is a bayit, so too, Maaser Sheni should only be brought up once there is a bayit. Where it says, well, that's not a good limud. Im amart v'bechor shekein to'un matan damim v'emurim l'gavi mizbeach. The Bechor has relevance in terms of the mizbeach. There's an avoda with the Bechor that has ended up on his mizbeach. So that makes sense that you need the mikdash there in order to have it in Yerushalayim. Varba Maaser Sheni, d'lo. You shouldn't be have to say it then by Maaser Sheni, which doesn't have any relevance to the mikdash. It only has relevance to Yerushalayim, not to mikdash.
Wait, so Rabbi Shmuel asked a question?
He asked a question. Should Maaser Sheni today should be brought up to Yerushalayim? So his first attempt at to answer the question is to say, it's like Bechor. Just like Bechor doesn't end up there, so too by Sushini should not end up there. We reject it. Next. Alright, Bikurim to Unim Avat Makom. When it comes to the Bikurim, you have to bring them up to Yerushalayim. Maaser Ta'un Avat Makom. Maaser also requires to be brought up to Yerushalayim. Ma Bikurim Enen Achim Elo Bifnei Abayit. Bikurim are only needed when there is a Mikdash there. Af Maaser Enen Achim Elo Bifnei Abayit. So to my sushini should only be eaten when there is a mikdash. Bikurim, it says, ve'veitem shamalotechem u'trumat yadchem. Trumat yadchem is the bikurim. So you have to bring them up there to the mikdash. So now Gemara says, wait a minute. My bikurim shekein to unim anacha. Bikurim require the mizbeach as well, because they require v'nacht lifnei Hashem alokecha to be placed down next to the mizbeach. Mar b'maiser delo. Maiser doesn't have that requirement of the mizbeach. Hamadomar. So here's the answer. The answer is this pasuk. This is the pasuk that each one of them is going to darshan. This is the way Rabbi Shmuel darshans the pasuk. V'achalt lifnei Hashem lekecha, masar dencha, toroshcha, v'yitzarecha, v'chorot, v'karcha, v'tzonecha. Hekish maser lebechor. Ma bechor en enochal lebifnei abayit, af maser en enochal lebifnei abayit. So it's a hekish in the pasuk between maser degancha, maser sheni, and bechorot, v'karcha, v'tzonecha. So if you put those two together, you say that just like bechorot only are brought up to Yerushalayim when there is a mikdash, so too, Maser Sheni is only brought up to the Yerushalayim when there is a Mikdash. It says, V'hadar Dina. V'leite v'me'atzad. Why don't you learn how to Bikurim and Bechor together? If we put them together, they'll each eliminate what the other one doesn't have. And since they'll eliminate what the other one has, between the two of them, we'll learn out that anything that's brought up to Yerushalayim is only brought up when there is a Mikdash. Where it says, Amar Ravashi v'shum de'ikol ha'meimar, ma'la tzad ha'shaveh sheben, shekein shmeish behem tzad mizbeach. They have a common denominator between them. Bichorot and Bikurim have a common denominator, which is that they both have to end up on the, or near the mizbeach. Therefore, we can't learn out from them to Maisur Sheni, which has no relevance to the mizbeach. So that means that anything that needs mizbeach would also not be end up in Yerushalayim. But maybe something that doesn't require mizbeach could end up in Yerushalayim. So maybe Maisur would. So that's what we need the pasuk for. So now I'm going to ask a sidebar question. My kasavar, what does Rabbi Shmuel hold? Ikasavar kedusha rishona kitcha l'shaita v'kitcha l'atidabo. The first kedusha was a kadosh forever. Lo shna bechor, lo shna meiser. Why should there be any difference between bechor and meiser sheni? B'nei havad ninu. They need to be brought up to Yerushalayim. If the kedusha is there forever, then they should be required to be brought up to Yerushalayim no matter what. Why do you have a question by meiser sheni, and why do you not allow bechor to be brought up? They should both have to be brought up. Ikasavar, if you believe kedusha rishona kitcha l'shaita v'lo kitcha l'atidabo. If you leave the Kedusha was not permanent, and there is no Kedusha once it's destroyed, afilu b'chor namiti b'ilach. This is a very difficult girsa, that even b'chor should be a question for you. Then I'm going to read it like the Shita Mekubetzet. He amends the girsa to read, maser sheni lo libay. Then maser sheni shouldn't have been a question. So in the first case, if you say that Kedusha was permanent, then it shouldn't make a difference b'chor, it shouldn't make a difference maser sheni. You should have to bring them up to Yerushalayim. B'nei Havaninu, because the Kedusha is permanent. If the Kedusha is permanent, then it doesn't matter the fact that they are destroyed. Yerushalayim retains its Kedusha. If Yerushalayim retains its Kedusha, we shouldn't have any question. Or, if you want to suggest that he holds that there is no Kedusha, permanent Kedusha in Yerushalayim, then why do you even have a question by Maaser? Forget about Bechor. Bechor, of course, you're not going to bring up. But Maaser, why do you have a question about it? There is no more Yerushalayim, quote-unquote, because the Kedusha is gone. If that's the case, then Maaser Sheni should not have to be brought up to Yerushalayim as well. Why do you have a question at all? No matter what you hold, we know what the outcome should be. If you think the Kedusha is permanent, then everything should have to be brought up. If you think the Kedusha is not permanent, then nothing should be brought up. Why do you have a safek here at all? Just to note that Rashi here does somewhat what he does in other places, which is that he connects between Kedushat Haaretz and the Kedushat HaMikdash. It's not obvious that that's the case, but he says here that whoever holds Kedushat Haaretz is permanent holds Yerushalayim's Kedusha is permanent. Whoever holds that Kedushat Eretz Yisrael is not permanent holds that Yerushalayim's Kedusha is not permanent. That's the way Rashi says it. Rashi actually in Zvachim and in Chulin, he actually writes Kedushat Abayit. In the Divrei Matkil, he has Kedushat Abayit. Even though the Gemara doesn't mention Bayit, Rashi in his Divrei Matkil mentions the word Bayit. So it seems from Rashi that he equates the two, that Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael have the same status. But if it's Kadosh, it's Kadosh. If it's not Kadosh, it's not Kadosh. And applies to both of them. We know that many of the Rishonim don't believe that. That includes Tosafot there. There's a large Tosafot who does all sorts of permutation. Possibility that Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh, Yerushalayim is not Kadosh. Or the other way around, that Yerushalayim is Kadosh, and Eretz Yisrael is not Kadosh. He has both permutations. We know the machloket of the Rambam and the Raivu. The Rambam thinks that Kedushat Yerushalayim was permanent, but Kedushat Eretz Yisrael was not permanent, and that only happened in the Bayit Sheni. Then the Kedushat Eretz Yisrael became permanent. But Kedushat Yerushalayim was permanent always. Ravid disagrees and says that neither Kedusha was permanent. and that you can go up to Har HaBayit today because there is no permanent Kedusha with regards to Yerushalayim. So you have all those permutations. Over here, again, Rashi seems to be L'shitato, where he does not differentiate between Aretz and Mikdash. Over here, Tosafot also brings down an opinion that seems to equate the two as well. It says, according to one who says that there is no Kedusha L'tidavo, then Yerushalayim is no more kadosh than any other city. The one who says lo kitchel atidavo says that you can eat ma'aser sheni wherever you want. So he equates, you see that in Tosafot, that you equate the two again, that Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael are equated. The Yerushalayim. So he says that the situation here must be that ma'aser sheni was planted before they by it was destroyed, therefore it took on Kedushat Aretz. And now the question is, do you have to bring it up to Yerushalayim or not? Because it already attained the Kedushat Aretz, because it was planted before the destruction of Yerushalayim. So Tosafot here takes that same approach as Rashi, which is that the two are equated. Either you do have Kedushat Aretz and Kedushat Yerushalayim, or you don't have either of them. There's no differentiation between them. Again, I'm just noting to you that the Rishonim in other places do not learn that way. Right now, in terms of the Girsa that we have in front of us, I'm reading it based on the Shita Mekubetzet, who just amended the question over here. And then the answer, according to that, is the Olam Kasavar Kedusha Rishona Kitcha L'Shaita Velo Kitcha L'Atidavo. That he holds that Kedusha Rishona Kitcha L'Shaita Velo Kitcha L'Atidavo. It's not permanent Kedusha. So what's the case over here? So then why do you have a question? Kagon Shinizrak Tamosha B'chor B'fnei Abayit. That they already brought the B'chor and Mizbeach before the Bayit, B'chorav Abayit. And then the Mikdash was destroyed. And his basar is still in existence, meaning that they're still waiting to eat the korban. Because if you had the dam today, you couldn't put it on the mizbeach. So, ati basar, yalif mi dam. So we're going to take the basar and learn it out from dam. And then maser will learn out of bechor. The answer being that Kedusha Rishona was not permanent. Therefore, after the Mikdash was destroyed, you can no longer bring a Bechor. What about the fact that our question was then Bechor is not brought? Well, Bechor is not brought, then why do you have a question at all? The answer being that it was a case where Bechor already had the dam, Nizrak al Mizbeach. What was left over was the Basar. The Mikdash was destroyed before he ate the Basar. The question now is, what do we do with that Basar? That Basar can't be eaten in Yerushalayim because of the Zrikat Adam. Or do we say, because there is no possibility of Zrikat Adam today, that eliminates the ability to eat the Basar? So that's the Gemara's answer. The Gemara's answer is, yeah, just like Dam is not possible today, so too the Basar is not possible today. Ve'ati, and then we're going to learn out Ma'aser Sheni, according to Rabbi Shmuel, from that Basar of the Bechor. Now Tosfot points out that it's a somewhat meduyak, and then right that we're talking about a case where the Bechor had its Dam on the Mizbeach beforehand, because it compares it to Maser. Just like Maser is just Chaser, Havat Makom, the only thing that Maser is missing is bringing it up to Yerushalayim. So too, we want to have a case where Bechor is all it's missing is eating in Yerushalayim. The only way you can have a case like that by Bechor is if you already did dam was Nizrak al Mizbeach beforehand. But it says that maybe from the bright itself we could see such a situation. Whereas by the case of Bikurim, we're not going to say there was a case where you already put the Bikurim before the Mizbeach, but rather it's a case where all he has is it's Chaser Hava'ah. Chaser Hava'ah Bikurim means to bring them up and put them by the Mizbeach. So we're not talking about Bikurim that necessarily had an Achab before the Mikdash was destroyed, but it were Bikurim that were brought up afterwards. Alright, so that's the Girsa that we have in front of us. Both Rashi and Tosafot have a alternative Girsa. They amend the Girsa over here about L'Olam Kasavar. And they both say, L'Olam Kasavar Kedusha Rishon on Kitcha the Shaita, the Kitcha the Atid Lavo. It's found in Tosafot over here on Chaf Aleph. It's found on Rashi and Chaf Aleph on Mepet. He says, Kashali, Kevin to L'Kitcha the Atid, my mistake, Levi Maser. Rashi asks the very basic question. If there's no Kedusha, then why do you even have a question about Maser Sheni over here? Uchmeduma and Ish, Lashon Yerushalmi, Akhtu Besarim, Ikar. Lashon Yerushalmi that's found in Besarim is the right one. Vechen ki Balti bin Masechet Makot. The same Gemara, the Kedusha Rishon that's in Masechet Makot, Ika Savar Kitcha the Atid Levo, Bechor Nami Libai. If you think there's permanent Kedusha, then Bechor should also be a question. Why it's so obvious that you don't bring Bechor? Because Savar Lo Kitcha, Maser Nami Lo Libai. And if you don't have Kedusha, then Maiser should be a question also, because you can't bring it out. So the answer, La'ulam kasavar, kitcha latid lavo. So Rashi says, and Tosfot says the same thing, not like Argmar. Argmar reads that the conclusion was that there is no Kedusha in Yerushalayim. But rather, they read it as, there is Kedusha in Yerushalayim. There is permanent Kedusha in Yerushalayim. V'hocha depshitule b'bechor, why is it so pashut by Bechor that you don't need in Yerushalayim? Golan jizrak tamo b'fnei abayit. So if it's a case where you put it on the Mizbeach before the Mikdash was destroyed. And since now there's no possibility of putting Dam on the Mizbeach, Basar gets eliminated because of the Hekesh between Basar and Dam. And that's the way Rashi learns it. He changes again the Girsa. Lo Girsin and came and Dim Itil Adam, La Barzrikahu, don't put that in the Girsa. El Hakikasin, Ati Basar, Vialich Midam. Ma Dam on Mizbeach, Absarob Mizbeach. Just like Dam is only brought when there is a Mizbeach, so too Basar is only eaten when there is a Mizbeach. Komar Ma Dam Oshozen is Rak Bizman Mizbeach. So that's the limud according to Rashi. So they both learned, Tosfot and Rashi learned that the Mara concluded with the Olam Kidshah L'atid Lavo, that it is permanent Kedusha. So how come it's obvious by Bechor? Because it's obvious by Bechor because Dam and Basar have a connection by Bechor. Just like the Dam is only done when there is a Mizbeach, so too the Basar is only eaten when there is a Mizbeach around. And because of that, we then have the Hekesh to Maisur Sheni, which tells us you don't eat Maisur Sheni when there is no Mizbeach. Alright, so that's the alternative Girsa.
So according to the first Girsa that we did, what was the whole process? Well, I had a question about
what's the din with Maisur Sheni today? It sounds like Maisur Sheni today should be eaten in Yerushalayim. Right. It says, well, let's learn out of Bechor. Let's learn out of Bikurim. We can't learn out of those. Then we have to learn out of the Hekesh and the Pasuk. In the end, that Bechor is not brought today. So Duma Zer is not brought today. But then the Gemara wants to understand Rabbi Shmuel's position. Why did he have a question? What does he hold with regards to Kedushat Yerushalayim?
It seems like he answered his question.
He answered his question from the Hekesh and the Pasuk. We know that. That's the information we're given. The Gemara wants to understand why did Rabbi Shmuel have a question to start with. Either he holds Yerushalayim is Kadosh, he holds Yerushalayim is Kadosh, both Maaser Sheni and Bechor should be brought up. Or he holds Yerushalayim is not Kadosh, and he should not have a question by either of them. So why does he even have a question? Why does he need a Hekesh here at all? Gemara's answer is, depending on the Girsa, the answer is either Yerushalayim has no Kedusha.
According to Rashi,
the answer is that Yerushalayim does have permanent Kedusha. But nevertheless, for us, we know that Bechor is not brought anyway because of the Hekesh between Dam and Basar. Just like Dam requires Mizbeach, so too Basar requires Mizbeach. That's how we know it by Bechor. And then we're going to apply that to Maaser Sheni. Say, even though Maaser Sheni, even though the Kedusha is permanent, nevertheless, Mizbeach is needed in order to have the Kedusha permanence of Kedusha make a difference. Kedusha's permanence only makes a difference when you have Mizbeach, and that's been learned out of the Hekesh. That's the way Rashi learns it. Rashi and Tosafot learn it. We have it in our Girsa is, both cases is a case where you put the Dam on the Mizbeach before the Mikdash was destroyed. For our Girsa is that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is not permanent. And you put the Dam on the Mizbeach before the Mikdash was destroyed. So now our question is, can you eat the Basar there? Well, the answer is obviously not. Just like you can't be Zorek Dam today, you can't eat the Basar today. And so because of that, we're going to learn to Maaser also that you can't have the Maaser today either. Okay, Maaser says, Mi feinen kodesh mahadodi. Wait a minute, you're using a Lamed min alamed, which is that you're using a hekesh to a hekesh, a limud to a limud in kadoshim, which doesn't work. You can use the transitive property when it comes to kol haTorah. If B learns from A, then C can learn from B, and that's not a problem. But in kadoshim, that's chutz min kadoshim, shein lamedin lamed min alamed. If B is learned out of A, then B can't teach us anything about C in kadoshim. That's exactly what you're doing. A is dam, B is basar, C is maaser sheni. You're learning from A dam to Basar B, and now you want to take Basar B and apply it to C. That doesn't work by Kodashim. The Gemara says, that's alright, because Maaser Chulin Hu. Maaser Sheni has a din in Chulin. So we're not learning in Kodashim, we're actually learning this in Chulin. The Gemara says, if you remember, we did this in Zevachim. That goes well according to the one who says that we go after the recipient, after the one that is being learnt out. So A is Dam, B is Basar, C is Maaser Sheni, C is Chulin. So C is the determining factor. Since C is the determining factor, we're dealing with Chulin, you can't have this transitive property and learn from B to C. But the one who says that the determining factor is the one that teaches, what are you going to say over here? Basar is Kodesh. If the Basar that we're trying to learn from to Maaser Sheni is Kodesh, we're not allowed to use this A to B, B to C. Maaser says, no problem. Basar v'dam chada miltihi. Basar v'dam are really one unit. It's not like they're a separate unit. We're saying, yes, we're learning from Dam to Basar, but it's not like we're learning Dam is a separate entity, then Basar is a separate entity, then Maaser Sheni is a separate entity. Basar and Dam are a single entity. That's the Korban. The Korban is Basar v'Dam. They're one entity. So I look at Dam in isolation, I look at Basar in isolation, that's fine, but in terms of their din that they're going to project, they're going to predict the din together, which is that Basar v'Dam are a single entity. And therefore, it's not A to B to C, it's rather A to C directly. All right, so Rabbi Akiva Omer. So now we move on to the next of this Ganim. That was the end of Rabbi Shmuel's piece. Now we're on to Rabbi Akiva. I would think you have to bring a Bechor from Chutz Laaretz up to the Mikdash when the Mikdash is still around. And you put it on Mizbeach.
Tamal Omar.
From the place that you bring up Maisur Sheni, that's where you bring up the Bechor. Maisur Sheni deals with Kedushat Haaretz, something that is a mitzvah tzluya ba'aretz, and therefore it's only brought from Eretz Yisrael. So to the Bechor is only brought from Eretz Yisrael. Umimakom Shiyata Malei Masar Degan from Chutz La'aretz, Yiyata Malei Bechor, then you don't bring a Bechor. So it's clear now at this point that Rabbi Kiva believes that you don't bring Bechor and Maser from Chutz La'aretz. So the story that we had about Ben Antuginus, where they rejected his Bechor that was brought up from Chutz La'aretz, that's going to be authored by Rabbi Kiva. That's Rabbi Kiva's position, that you don't bring it up from Chutz La'aretz. Our Mishnah that says, don't bring it, the Chatchila, but B'dievet, if you bring it, it's fine. That'll be authored by Rabbi Yishmael. Because if Rabbi Yishmael uses the same pasuk that Rabbi Kiva has for something else, he learns out from there the hekesh between Bechor and Maaser Sheni to teach us about Bizman Hazeh. What do you do with Maaser Sheni, Bizman Hazeh? And therefore he doesn't have that pasuk to exclude a case of Bechor from Chutz La'aretz. So Rabbi Yishmael will be the author of our Mishnah. Rabbi Kiva will be author of that position with regards to Ben Antigonus that they rejected his Bechor when he brought it from Chutz La'aretz. Tosafot over here asks, how do you know that Rabbi Yishmael holds l'chatchila no, b'di'evid yes? Maybe Rabbi Yishmael thinks he can bring it up even l'chatchila. All you know about Rabbi Yishmael is that he doesn't learn like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that b'di'evid, you can't even bring it. So that's all that we know about Rabbi Yishmael is that you can bring it. We don't know whether he says l'chatchila or not l'chatchila. We don't have any information about that. So he says, imtom Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, can the faresh time, Rabbi Akiva explains his position. Rabbi Yishmael, matam. What's the explanation of Rabbi Yishmael's position that l'chatchila no, but b'di'evid yes? Yeshlamar may make me drush of the Sifrei. That there's another drush in the Sifrei, Shiperish Le'el, that we learned earlier in the Masechta, Rak Kodeshecha Asher Lechot, all your Kodeshim have to be brought up. Mikan Shmevin Kodeshim Bechutz La'aretz La'aretz. Yochalat Bechor Maser, I would think Bechor Maser, yes, Kain Tamadomar Rak. That Rak is a mute. Behind Lechatchila Hudim Ait. Over there, it's only a mute from Lechatchila. Da'ari Bekra, Dechtib Tisalvata. That you should bring it up to Yerushalayim, and that's a Chatchila, a Din Lechatchila. So they say in that pasuk is the chatchila, you must bring it up to Yerushalayim. We said that before in the Masechta, that if you don't bring it up, you're in violation of that assay of Tisalvata. That doesn't posel the korban, you still have to bring it up afterwards, you're just violation of the assay. So there is a din of chatchila to bring it up to Yerushalayim. So over there we have a miut of rak to teach us the Bechor Maser are not included in that din. Well, that din is a din of chatchila. So they're not in the din of chatchila to bring it up to Yerushalayim, but b'di'evit, if you do bring it up, they will be accepted. So that's the source for Rabbi Yishmael's position, that, like our Mishnah, the chatchila, no, but b'di'evid, yes. Rabbi Kiva will again be the author of that position by Ben Antigonus. Now here's the third zekain. When Rabbi Yossi said, I heard something from Shlosh Zekainim, here's the third of the zekainim, and that's Ben Azai. Ben Azai is going to learn the same puzzle for something else. Yachol, malet, maser sheni, v'yachlenu b'chol ha'ro'eh. I would think that you should bring up maser sheni to Yerushalayim, and you could eat it anywhere you can see Yerushalayim. V'dinu. B'chor ta'un avat makom, maser ta'un avat makom. B'chor has to be brought up to Yerushalayim. And so too, maser sheni has to be brought up to Yerushalayim. Ma b'chor enu chalal lifnim min ha'choma. My, just like Bechor has to be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim, after the Maaser Sheni, and Unachala lifnim min ha'choma. So Duba Maaser should only be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. Maaser says you can't learn such a limud. Bab Bechor, Shekein Ta'un, Matan Damim, Ve'imurim, Legabe Mizbeach. Bechor has a requirement of Mizbeach. Because maybe because of that requirement of Mizbeach, that's what makes it require the walls of Yerushalayim. Tomar be Maaser Delo, maybe Maaser doesn't have a requirement of Mizbeach at all, can be eaten Bechol Ha'ro'eh. Tamad Lomar, it's a hekesh between Bechor and Maaser Sheni. Just like Bechor is only in inside the walls of Yerushalayim, so too Maaser Sheni should only be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. The Gemara is going to ask the question, and even after the Gemara asks this question, it's still not clear what the answer is. Gemara says, "My kashale, what's the question here at all? Why would you have more of a havam, you know, to bring Bechor and say Bechor has to be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim, and Maaser Sheni can be eaten any way you can see Yerushalayim?" They both have the same requirement, which is that v'chalt lifnei Hashem lokecha, that you eat them before Hashem. They have to be brought up to makom asher yibchar Hashem. Both of them have the same requirement in the Torah. Why would you think that Bechor has a different requirement than Maaser Sheni? Why would Bechor require the walls of Yerushalayim to be the confines, and Maaser Sheni would be Bechol Ha'ro'eh? Why would you differentiate? So Gemara says, "My kashle, the kamar yochol amart. Why do you even have a havam, you know?" Hoyo vitznan. So this is the answer. The answer is because of this Mishnah. This is what causes the problem. Now, even after you read the Mishnah, it's not clear what the Gemara was thinking. Ain ben Shiloh to Yerushalayim. There's no difference in Yerushalayim and in Shiloh. Ella should be Shiloh. Achlim kodshim kalim and Maaser Sheni b'chol ha'ro'eh. When it comes to Shiloh, you eat kodshim kalim and Maaser Sheni anywhere you can see the Mishkan. And that's why today, when you go around where the area of Shiloh is, the community of Shiloh, where Mishkan Shiloh was next to it, all the mountains around there have broken shards of pottery. Because anybody who ate Kodoshim over there, after they finished with it, they had to break the pottery and leave it there. So you can find shards of pottery on any mountain that's around there that can see that location. Over Yerushalayim, when it comes to Yerushalayim, lifnim min achoma. You eat within the walls of Yerushalayim. Kodshim et Kodoshim lifnim min achoma. Then when it comes to Kodshim Kodoshim, you eat them inside of the Azara, the walls of the Azara. Ma'udum teima, whatever, thab Yerushalayim letim maser sheni b'choloreh. In Yerushalayim, you should have it Maaser Sheni anywhere you can see. Kamash Malan, that's not the case. What's not clear from here is Mishnah that we quoted says Maaser Sheni and Kodshim Kalim, Kol Aroeh and Mishkan Shiloh. And then when it switches to Yerushalayim, it makes no differentiation. It says Lifnim Min Achoma. They're eating inside the walls. It seems to apply to both Kodshim Kalim equally as it does to Maaser Sheni. Where does the Gemara come up with such a distinction? It's a very difficult distinction that they want to make between Maaser Sheni and Kodshim Kalim. The Shita Mikubetzit asked the question. Again, what's the question over here? Yotami Kodshim Kalim. Ha'inu nami hayo nechalim b'choloreh. Kodshim Kalim during the Mishkan Shiloh were eating b'choloreh. And Maaser Sheni was eating b'choloreh. Then we say in the Mishnah, Yerushalayim is lifnim min achoma. So why would you think that only Kodshim Kalim get brought in lifnim min achoma, but Maaser Sheni remains b'choloreh? Why would you think such a thing? So the Shita Mikubetzit says, the answer is, b'sifri mifurash tam, gives the reason over there. Why were they at a question about Maaser Sheni more than any other Kodshim? Because Shehu Nechal B'chol Zman, Maaser Sheni has no limitation in terms of being eaten. U'B'chol Adam, it can be eaten by anyone. Aval Kodshim Kalim, Tzarich Lechol L'Shnei Yamim B'Layla Echad. Kodshim Kalim have to be eaten for 2 days and one night. And they have to be eaten by someone who is Tahor. If it's a B'chor, it has to be eaten by the Kohanim. So therefore, the Gemara says, maybe we'll be more made killed by Maaser Sheni. So what the Shita Mikubetzit says in the end is, I'll draw a distinction between them that will say why I would differentiate between Maaser Sheni and Bechor. Again, we have no proof to why you should differentiate between the two. Shita Mikubetzit is giving us a reason why you would differentiate between the two. It's because Maaser Sheni doesn't have limitations of time. Doesn't have limitations of who can eat it. And therefore, maybe it also doesn't have a limitation of being eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. Maybe it should be eaten on the mountains around it. I think you could have easily have said, Joel, Bechor requires Mizbeach. Therefore, maybe it has a demand that it be inside the walls of Yerushalayim. Maaser doesn't have a demand of Mizbeach. Maybe you don't have to eat it within the walls. You just have Bechol Aroeh. But that distinction, it's not easy to understand what that distinction was. It seems to be that there was, the Shita Mikubetzit quoting here, there was another Girsa in the Gemara that included that distinction. Because you see in Rashi has an alternative Girsa over here about Shekein Chilakta B'Zman Achilato. That there is a difference between Maaser Sheni and the Zman Achila. Rashi had an alternative girsa in terms of distinguishing between Maaser Sheni and Bechor, so not have the limud one from the other, but you could also use it over here, like the Shita is using Shita Mikubetzit, the distinction to understand why you would think that Maaser Sheni is Bechol Aroeh, Kodshim Kalim are inside of Chumat Yerushalayim. I'll say in the end, very difficult question. The Havmin is very difficult. Tosfot asks the question, the Shita Mikubetzit asks the question, the answer doesn't seem to be so strong. Now, Achim Omrim, this is the last of the Drashot with regards to the Pasuk. I would think a Bechor that passed its year. A Bechor is supposed to be brought within the first year of its life, onto the Mizbech. If it passes its first year of life, I would think it's like Psulei Mugdashim, like other Korbanot that require their first year. They're no longer Rayui. Pesach can't be brought after the first year. A Chatat, after its first year, is also Pasul. B'Yivsol, and then it will be Pasul. Tamad Omar, Maser Dagan Chavi, Terosh Chavi, Tzarecha, Mekish Bechor the Maser. Ma Maser Einu Nifsal, Mishana Lechavrata. Just like Maser, it does not go bad from 1 year to the next. A Bechor Einu Nifsal, Mishana Lechavrata. So too, a Bechor is not Pasul from 1 year to the other. So therefore you have a Hekesh between them to teach you, just like Maser doesn't have an expiry date, so too Bechor does not have an expiry date. Lo Rabbanan Demachilu Taima Achrina Mishana Lechavrata Min Aluhu. The Rabbanon, meaning Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shmuel, Ben Azai, who used the pasuk for something else, how do they know that a Bechor doesn't expire after the first year? You eat it before Hashem, year by year. It's a shana, 1 year to the next. So you see that it's not pasul because it crossed over its year. The Acharim, they learned this din out of the Hekesh between Bechor and Maser. What do they do with Lifnei Hashem Lokech, Tochlenu Shana B'Shana? My Darshi Bey, where do they do that? Mi Bailek Netanyo. They need it for the Breita. Yom Echad Mishana Zu. Yom Echad Mishana Acheret. To teach you that a Bechor is eaten for Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad. Do you know that? Because it says, Tochlenu Fnei Hashem Lokech, Shana B'Shana. You could bring it on the last day of the previous year and eat it on the first day of the next year. That's the made Ala Bechor, Shnei Echad Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad. V'Rabbanon. How do they know the Nechal Bet Yamim V'Layla Echad? How do they Rabbanon, who are not the Acherim, how do they know Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad by Bechor? Amar Kra, Iyelach Kechazeh Tnufa. that the Bechor will be to you a gift, a matnot kuna, like the chazeh atznufa mishok, which comes out of the shlamim. The Bechor has the same din as the matnot of the shlamim to you. Just like shlamim is shnei yamim v'layla echad, so the Bechor will have a requirement of shnei yamim v'layla echad. Okay, we'll stop over here at the end of the perek.